So for that, I'd like to take you through a few basic slides of internet basis and architecture, and to go through how data is stored and created on the internet. So we're going to talk about internet basics and how internet works and how web pages are created, how data and evidence is created on web pages for us to collect. You might think a web page is a static page that you read and consume information on. It's a little bit more complicated than that. So as you can see here, we picked a web page called the journal.ie. It's an Irish news article website. And it is indicative of how a normal web page works. It is not just one element. It is not just a single piece of content. It is a puzzle piece of various different elements brought together by the internet browser that you're using, as it's Chrome or Firefox. In this case, we have a news article, and the news article consists of content, as in the news paragraphs and text. It consists of pages, photographs. It might consist of GIFs. It might consist of adverts. But they're all brought together as one single page on your computer. And what the internet browser does is takes a copy of all the elements that it needs and brings it together, hopefully in a nice cohesive way. As you might know, different browsers have different behaviors, and some are better than others, but they all try to combine all the elements together in the way that the original designer of the web page intended. In this case, a news article. So I, as a web designer, don't have to do everything. I just make these puzzle pieces, and I say, I want this puzzle piece here, that puzzle piece there, that puzzle piece there. Also might know that not all puzzle pieces come from a single source. So the journal.ie is a website, it has its own servers or it's hosted somewhere, but it doesn't contain all elements of the web page. It contains some, and then it might give instructions to the browser to pick the others out from somewhere else. So in this case, the advert space and the social media space and the photos and whatnot are found elsewhere in other web pages. And they're downloaded by the browser because the instructions tell it to do that. So in this case, it becomes this. These adverts and these pictures are not stored on the journal. They're stored in, let's say, in Google, they're stored in Picasa or some other web hosting, photo hosting service. It is a, like I said, they're puzzle pieces, but they're not coming from single sources. And also, as you might know, these adverts you see and the pictures you see on the website are not always the same. So they're based on your browsing history, on what you've done in the past, and they are predicted by whatever whatever agency the website is using, usually Google, or sometimes it's Facebook, but Google, based on how much it knows about you and what you think you've done in the last few months, will give you the more relevant advert. The reason I say this is that the web page I see on the journal and this single web page, even if I give you the same link, you might see something else. And in a lot of times, the original creator of the web page may not even know what the final look of the web page will look like. They might not know what adverts you're going to see. And there have been issues of inappropriate adverts being put by the advertising agencies on a website. And that means that if we collect this data, it might not be exactly the same as something you might see somewhere else. So we have to be aware of that. You also might know that if you're looking for videos and anything that any large multimedia elements, I might not get a copy of that. It's streamed or found somewhere else. So how do we collect that data as well? I could take a screenshot of this, it's fine, but I don't have the video. How do we collect that if it's relevant? This is all described in the web page DNA, which is the HTML code. The HTML code is a set of instructions. Remember all my puzzle pieces, a set of instructions on how to combine, where to get the puzzle pieces content and how to combine them in a way that the web page would look the best or the way that the web designer intended. It is a programming language, which I won't really go into. But you can, if you like, you can always look at the coding language in a browser of your in of the web page that you're looking at, if you so wish. One of the elements of the HTML code is that it has hidden attributes. So the website, the internet browser or Chrome, displays these elements of the web pages together in a nice cohesive way. But the web page designer may have decided to hide some elements or to put an element in a web page that you don't see, or hidden somewhere else, or hidden at the bottom of the page. This is what might reveal some important evidence if you're doing investigations of websites. The most important thing that I like to do for these HTML investigations is that you get exact URLs. So one, if you're looking at this web page, for example, and you hover over a link, it might say just Tesla as an underlined hyperlink, but it doesn't give you the ultimate URL that you need. The HTML does that. It also has comments, hidden, and meta tags, and these are parts of the HTML page that are not visible. And if you're investigating a particular web page, it might provide some useful information. For example, when this document was posted, some coders may have some content in there just for themselves that they think people will never look at. And you might also see that some depreciated code or some code that they commented out or they don't want to run, hidden in the web page, that may reveal what the web page did before or some other nefarious actions. This is a standard way that HTML has worked in the past 20 years, 30 years, and has done fairly well. All the web pages, most of the web pages you see, are based on this process of creating these elements, putting them together into a single web page, and giving these instructions in HTML format. But the web page or the internet has grown. So the web that we talked about earlier with the journal and the news articles are typically considered web 1.0. These are web pages that are designed for consumption or reading. They're static, they don't change very often. They might change with the adverts, but you're not really expected to change anything on the content yourself. They're typically based on more simple technology like HTML. And they're the original internet, the original way things were done in the past. But in the early 2000s, the world changed a little bit. They say a lot, and introduced the concept of Web 2.0, which is the social media websites or social media scape. And it's a different way of using the internet. Not only are you just reading things and reading content, consuming things like watching a video, but you're encouraged and sometimes highly encouraged to contribute to the web page, to comment on it, to add content, to communicate with other users. And this is ultimately what social media does in the social web that was created. You are a contributor, you know, a consumer. The page will become more sophisticated. So not only is it HTML, but you have also other different other technologies that allow you to communicate and as seamlessly as possible. Not only as like posting a picture on Facebook or posting a tweet, but a communication, almost live communication, on let's say something like a Discord or something like an internet chat forum that you may have seen recently. Communication is usually more secure. And heavy emphasis placed on security and privacy. But in all social media, you have various levels of privacy and some more than others. It's obviously a newer concept than Web 1.0, and has really changed the world. And this is what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes. There is also, I should mention, there's also a Web 3, or Web 3.0. It's a relatively new concept. And the last 3 or 4 years, I won't talk too much about this, but this is based on the blockchain, the crypto world that's been evolving the last decade. But it's attempting to address the main problem of Web 2.0, which is that the social media platforms that have evolved have coalesced around three or four main providers: the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Instagrams. So, and you, the users have given power to these major corporations, and they decide on how things look and how things behave. But the privacy security is kind of outsourcing them. So Web3 is trying to bring that back to the user to give you security and privacy based on this blockchain technology. It's not really going to be a topic of this conversation, but something to look forward, something to look at in the next decade or so. So the anatomy of Web 2.0, this is the social media internet, is slightly different to Web 1.0. Rather than creating content in a sort of formulaic way that you're putting like a puzzle pieces, the social media site, social media platform, just provides a single template for you. And they just ask you to give them content. So whether that is photos, whether it's text, whether it's tweets, they ask for content and they'll organize everything for you. So it's a blank slate. They don't really need anything else. The final look is kind of consistent. It's consistent across the entirety of the platform. And they are able to change the look and feel of it, and you don't have to worry about anything else. They may, in the early days, in the MySpace days, in the Friendster days, they might give you too much control in changing the various look and feel of the websites. But these days, the Facebooks and Instagrams and Twitters have almost like a coordinated or fairly organized web page that they change only, and they simply ask you for your content. The content that you give them are not stored in files or in, as like I said, puzzle pieces. They're stored in databases as like a single database. So when you load up a page, the browser loads up a pattern, loads up a template, and then asks for the various content, let's say your date of birth, your name, your picture, gets all these elements and puts them in the right place in template. So this is important. If they are stored in databases rather than files or puzzle pieces, like I said before, we will get things, we will collect different things in a different way. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But like I said before, the Web 2.0 space, although it was a bit of a wild west early in the 2000s, has now coalesced around three or four, maybe five main players. And they control the majority of the way things are done, the way things are displayed to you, and the information, which is a problem in itself.